Ashley.
Yep, that's me.
And me.
Oh, best friend, we killing them. No new friends, get rid of them. Oh, these new niggas, yeah, I ain't feeling them. Yeah, it's just me and my twin and them.
So it was just a few weeks ago we added YG to the sexiest rappers list.
He's top. Well, no. Sorry.
ASAP.
ASAP
is the top.
YG.
YG.
Yeah.
Girl, I saw this video of him and Sweetie.
Yeah, they can talk your shit.
Talk about it.
West Side.
Mwah. I'll see y'all later.
I love you, girl. That's fine ass.
I love you too.
Wait, you what? Say it again. You what?
What?
Say that shit again, girl. Say that.
She was like, boy.
She was like, leave me alone.
I love you, girl.
Say it louder.
I love you, girl.
Pop your shit.
Rich niggas love pretty girls. I love you too, babe.
Oh, she talked her shit.
It makes me jealous.
I know. The comments, bro. I was.
What
did
the comments say? Does everyone feel as jealous as me, or no different feelings?
The ones that got me were like, "Oh my god, I'm blushing right now," and it ain't even me. This is so cute. I don't care what y'all say. This is sexiest. He says, "Say it again, louder."
Say it again, louder.
Okay. Okay, daddy. Okay.
Damn it.
Daddy, no, am I your baby?
It's daddy, Am I your baby? Oh my god. Sorry, I digress, but we started walking around our house saying that. Me what? And my children.
What?
Daddy, am I your baby? Except they'd be like, Mommy, am I your baby? I'd be like, most definitely. Sorry, anyways. What I want to say about YG and Sweetie, here's the thing. I love YG. I used to love Sweetie. There was a point in time where this would have been not quite Rihanna and ASAP, but I would have been standing for them.
Close.
There has been something that has happened with Sweetie, which has made me be very off Sweetie.
Agreed.
So now I'm having a difficulty being that I really do like YG. I think he's sexy. I f*** with him. And why her?
He can't bring her back for you? Like, is being with YG make her a little bit better, like less cringy? Like, at least she got a cool ass by her side.
No, because then I know too much. Like, I be knowing the insider. Like, he be going back and forth with his baby mom.
I mean, he was also under Kalani's photos last week.
Yeah, he's for everybody.
Man.
So that's why it's just like, no. It's not like how hard ASAP ride for Rihanna. Like,
got it.
I'm not saying, we don't know what ASAP is doing. The point is, when you look in that man's eyes and you look at him, look at her, that's for life.
I don't know, but the way I just heard him say, I love you, girl.
I know. But that was so L.A. That's an L.A. thing to say.
The whole thing is. But then there's also the people in the comments, which, you know, I've kind of always felt this way about Sweetie, that is like, why is she in here acting so hood now?
I think that is, the more that we have learned about Sweetie, the more she has become unbelievable in what is actually going on. Remember, we used to love Sweetie.
Yeah, I did love Sweetie until Lotto got her out of here.
Lotto got her
out. Lotto was the real version of what they were trying to build with Sweetie.
Yeah, but it's not the same because Lotto is more authentic. It's like a genuine persona.
I don't sing R&B, but bitch, I'm really hurt. Fuck wrong with niggas. How you let them cheat and take them back? Must be your only nigga. I get loud just like my weed. I don't watch my tone with niggas. I hang up the phone on niggas. You ain't my daddy, bitch, I'm pit mama. Every time y'all book me with them hoes, it's gonna be big drama. 20 black Suburbans, we pull up like Sunday service. I just want a one-on-one, don't know why she's so nervous. Fuck with these hoes saying, come on niggas, say I'm perfect. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
And Sweetie is a little more manufactured.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like she was with Quavo. Now she with YG. It's like, what are we doing next?
We know girls have probably been with them both and then added Future in there too.
I think I'm ultimately being a hater. So
I think you're being a hater.
I am.
And I think she could win you back over.
This is what I want to say. There's a video after Rolling Loud where he's like talking to somebody and she kind of like snatch him up, like pulls him. I have a problem when I look at you, YG, like you're that, and then you letting this bitch, yank you? You telling her that you love her on stage? You following her off the stage? Like, nah, 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 nah. I don't love that for you. Come on, man up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get feel tough. Like he's not being a real from, yeah. Where is he from? Inglewood? I
don't know. LA, somewhere.
South Central?
Yeah, you don't want to claim the wrong set, so just chill out with that. I have no idea. But the point is, she tried to snatch my up, and I didn't like that.
I don't love Sweetie, but I loved that moment on stage with them. I thought it was fire.
Wouldn't it have been cuter if it was me?
For sure. Duh. It would have been way better. But I'll have to take it because I love you, girl.
I know. It's that. It's you know that, I love it's you, It's the girl. Way he talks, too. It's like so L.A.
It's good.
Damn. And he wears vests and dress shoes. Oh, my God. Sorry. Anyways. That's funny. No, yeah. So I'm giving hater is what I'm giving. So that was a cute moment. But then after that, she snatched him up, and I didn't love that for them.
Yeah.
Particularly him. Don't let her do that to you, YG.
I would watch a YG Sweetie sex tape.
1,000%. What do you mean?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a hot ass sex tape.
I mean,
if you guys are listening, you want to know how you get back on Ashley N's good side, Sweetie?
Drop that tape.
Oh.
That's funny.
Anyways.
Oh, that's for me? Fake all over you.
Hate all over you. Fake ran all over you. He said hate and fake written all over you. Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Mm-hmm. What a sample. Mm-hmm. Traces of the evil that hurts within. Fake ran all over you. Hater ran all over you. Hey. Fake ran all over you. Yeah. Damn.
Mm-hmm. I've been in a cold, cuff in my toes, but I still stuck to the code. Money won't fold, pockets won't hold enough. You a nigga number one fan, dog. Tweet this and I don't understand, dog. Pillow talking, acting like a fed, dog. I don't need another fake friend, dog. Can't be about a whole cup of sharing, dog. And your feelings, nigga, why you paying, dog? Give her back shots while she laying down. Keep the clock cock on trust, ho. Top shotter going for the gusto. Like a real dog, got a mutt, ho.
Can you break this down for me, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I know we're like a week later, whatever, but can you break this situation down for me?
You remember this song? Damn, okay. I've been out of the way in the cut, it's been a minute. Working on her, I'm not finished. Last time I saw her, she was fucking with my nigga. So the question is, what would Pluto do for the hoe? So I did it. What would Pluto do for the hoe? So I did it. What would Pluto. So it turns out, and you follow that Instagram page, Grand Chat Wizard,
yeah.
Now. That this supposedly, allegedly, I read somewhere if you say allegedly, people can't sue you.
Yeah.
Allegedly,
mm-hmm.
This is all over
a girl.
A hoe named Diana.
From Miami.
But she was given like 2024 Cat Stacks vibes, and I just felt that was tricky.
We don't trust these that's why. They make bad decisions.
They make bad decisions.
Wait, so what you're telling me is this whole situation, which has now involved... It's Drake, Cole,
mm-hmm.
Kendrick, Future.
And Metro Boomin. Diana, you must have that wet.
They're saying Future and Drake the same girl.
Yes.
Kendrick don't have nothing to do with that.
No, Future tapped Kendrick.
And was like, hey, can you come? And Kendrick came and...
He was like, hey, yeah, I've been wanting to shoot at this actually.
Actually.
Perfect time.
And then Cole just got caught up in it.
Well, Cole is a part of the big three...
And the big three being?
J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So let's say Pac and Biggie came out.
Yeah.
Our big three that came out of our rapper era was that.
Okay.
It's interesting that we lost Big Sean and Wale along the way.
We did.
Mm-hmm. I think Big Sean was really meant to probably be up there, but.
Yeah, he was.
Big Sean was good.
A thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all like kind of like the more backpacky rappers or whatnot. Yeah.
I need to listen to the album. I'm just behind.
No, the album is fire.
I mean, because Future generally gives.
Were you the one that told me having a baby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like soon. Mm-hmm. And now once I looked at it, she's in my algorithm. Don't you hate that?
She's a dirty bitch to be in your algorithm.
It's giving not interested.
At all. Dusty. Yeah. Boo.
That's funny.
Anyways. What's up, girlfriend? How was your week?
Oh, busy week.
Yeah.
Had a work week. Traveled to D.C.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, D.C. We're here. And I went to the African American History Museum.
Wow, that has been on your list.
That has been on my list. It's something I've wanted to do for so many years, and it was dope because we got like a private tour, like a 3-hour tour. So it was like the best way to experience it. And oh my God, it's everything. Yeah. I want to go back.
Did you do your private tour though while it was open or while it was closed?
Well, we started while it was closed, but then halfway through
it opened. That's interesting. I did. I went early too.
Yeah.
How busy was it by the time you got to like the lunch area?
The lunch area is busy.
Right.
Yeah. We got through the heavy part where there was no one there. And then as we moved to the lighter portions, it got busier.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the layout of the African American History Museum, what Ashley is explaining is when you get into the museum, you go into an elevator that basically drops you down in the ground. The museum is layered in levels. Like you go all the way down to the slave trade, all the way up to like modern day Barack Obama's president. Yeah. In each of these decades, you get like a layer or maybe centuries. Maybe it's decades. It starts with centuries and then it goes to decades because like you got to work through it.
Then it starts getting,
And it is a very unique experience because you're like literally cast down to the bottom of the building and it's dark. And even the exhibits as you get higher, like in the bright day.
Yeah. And then the one thing that I loved is like that middle level where they have the water, it's like the meditation room. And it's sort of like a cleansing, like you cleanse that heaviness of all
the lower levels,
the lower levels. And then you kind of enter the more celebratory part.
Yep.
And the one thing that the guy said was, so this is the African American History Museum. This is American history from an African American perspective. And so that's what I thought was interesting because I remember being in eighth grade and doing my DC trip and we went to the Holocaust Museum and that was something that lives very vivid in my memories. Not so much like the exact imagery, but the feeling of it. And so I anticipated feeling that heavy from this museum. But the one thing that I think that they did an amazing job is you start and it's very, very heavy, but you're able to see how much we have overcome. And then the top, it's just celebratory. Look at all the shit we did. They tried to push us down. They tried to break us, but And now we're here.
Lifting as we climb.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for me, although it was heavy, that lower level, I definitely shed tears. There were heavy moments. But I just think the way that it lifts you up, you leave out of there feeling like empowered almost.
And this is obviously a unique experience that not everyone will have. What was really beautiful about it for me is that as I got to those higher levels, the personal friends and people that we knew that are in that museum.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I was like, this is really cool to know where we came from. And now I'm surrounded by people who have achieved so much and that means so much to the culture that they're going to live in the museum.
And their names are actually on the wall.
Did you get to the part about the Order of the Eastern Star and the Masons?
We may have skipped through that.
Okay. So A, that was really cool because my grandmother is a part of the Order of the Eastern Star.
Okay.
And my grandfather was a Mason.
Okay.
And so it shared all about those two organizations and what those organizations meant to neighborhoods of color during the civil rights era.
Right. I've honestly never heard of the Eastern Stars. I'm familiar with Masons.
The Order of the Eastern Stars is the female. So Masons are male only.
And so that's the female.
The female chapter is called the Order of the Eastern Star.
Got it.
And so for me to see that it was something so much bigger than the way I had just seen it in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was like this chapter, because like my grandmother was like the president or vice president of her chapter or whatever, to see what it really meant at that time was amazing to me. But the next thing that hit right after that was my mom's doctor. Like the doctor that delivered her is up as one of the first Black doctors or hospitals or whatever.
I did see that.
Okay. So that was the man that delivered my mom.
No way.
That was her doctor and all her sisters.
No way.
So that was when I first felt proud. I was just like, wow, we went through this thing. But like, wow, I'm connected and I'm proud. And so let's say that was the 20s through the 60s when I saw that stuff.
Yeah.
By the time I got into the top with all the music stars and the sports and all of that, now these were my people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this is a special
experience.
It's a special experience. It's like none other.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that it is a must see.
Yeah. What you explained about the Holocaust, I actually remember. I remember reading Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. I remember, was it Night and Dawn by Elie Wiesel?
That author sounds familiar. I don't, yeah.
Eli or Elie, mm-hmm. Eli probably because he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. Eli Wiesel had a one called Night, one called Dawn or something like that. And there were two books we read about the Holocaust in school. And I have, like you said, such strong feelings about imagining people going into the ovens.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. I can only pray that the children that walk through the African American History Museum can take away our experience with slavery and civil rights mm-hmm. the same way that the Holocaust Museum sat with you and those books sat with me. Mm-hmm. Because they're working real hard to take our history out of schools.
They are. I am firsthand witnessing them doing that. Yeah. Like, it's crazy, actually.
Yeah. But I'm so glad you got to go because that's a dope next experience.
Yeah. So that was really great. I was there for work. Mm-hmm. Client of mine, Kevin Hart, he won the Mark Twain Prize.
Oh, shut up.
Which is a very big deal. It was something that I've known for a while, but didn't really understand the magnitude of it. And it is quite an honor. And it was dope to be a part of that.
That's sick.
Yeah. So like Chappelle showed up, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Chelsea Lately, the guy from Dave.
Yep.
Love him. I also got a shout out in his speech, so I appreciated that. It was definitely towards the end, and I felt like maybe I wasn't going to get
one.
But he snuck me in there, so I couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Haley and Loti. He had like said everybody. He went through his entire team and left us out. And then like at the end, he was like, oh, and thank you to my stylist, Ashley North, my publicist. Like he maybe saw us in the audience like, we'll stab you with a knife if you don't say our name.
Yeah.
But I got my shout out. So thanks, Kev.
I love that.
Yeah.
So now here we are.
Now here we are filming the podcast. I have a giant bruise on my leg that's hurting.
Why?
I had a bad travel experience.
What happened?
You know how some airports have like the train that takes you from the different terminals?
The monorail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they warn you, doors are closing, please hold on. Me being, I don't know, an idiot, I'm not paying attention. Like, I hear everything, but I'm not holding on to shit.
Yeah, because they go like 4 miles an
typically,
hour.
Typically, this train, when I tell you this shit took off and I went flying into the man next to me, who then went flying into the man. Like, I created this whole, like, tumbling. I didn't fall to the ground, but I hit the man next to me, and then I hit, and then he knocked into another man. My bag went sliding. It was like this whole thing, and the man was not nice.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You know how some people be like, oh my God, you're good. He was not that guy at all. He just kind of like looked at me and I was like, I'm sorry.
Like, dumb bitch, they said hold on.
Yeah, they said hold on, stupid. And I was like, oop. I was like, I'm sorry. Guess I missed that.
My homegirl, she said that one time she landed in London really late, like 1 a.m. She got on the plane train. She thought she was getting on it to go to baggage claim. She got on it. The train went to the airport area where it parks up for the night. Her cell phone is dead.
No. I'm panicking.
She said that she was banging on the windows and everything. She was like, I thought I was stuck in there for the whole night, like into the morning, no cell phone, nothing.
Yeah.
She said, luckily, like after 15 minutes, which is way too long, let me tell you. 15 minutes is way too long to be going through that. My heart would have probably stopped.
Yeah.
The train started moving again.
Oh.
I thought about it. I was like, there's not an emergency button or something somewhere. Yeah. When the power goes off.
Oh, the power went off. Like, it was parked. Done.
She thought this was over.
That's a no for me. That would be full panic mode. That's like being stuck in an elevator. That feels as bad as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dive into the shallow end of pop culture and into the deep end of fashion with It's Not That Serious, the podcast. I'm Andrea, a fashion devotee with over 10 years of style expertise and a PhD in celebrity chisme.
And I'm Lena, a wardrobe stylist navigating the sets of films, commercials, and even the closets of your favorite athletes.
And we're coming to you every week for a lighthearted take on celebrities, fashion trends, and the belief that life is best lived with a touch of humor.
It's not just a podcast. It's your VIP pass to a world where seriousness takes a back seat to glam, gossip, and giggles. Join us each and every week here on the Dear Young Queen Network, and be sure to follow and subscribe to It's Not That Serious so you never miss an episode.
Well, I'm glad you did it, because that would have been two airport fights for Ashley and Ashley this week.
You got in a fight at the airport?
Oh, I did.
I love this.
So I went to Disney World this week.
Which I'm super jealous of, because I love Disney World.
Okay, well, I can't wait to talk about it, because okay. I'm an adult and a little confused why everybody likes it so much. But we'll revisit what? That. Let me tell you about the lady I almost fought outside the airport to begin with. So I have my big luggage you saw in my carry-on. Mm-hmm. My homegirl, though, has a luggage the same size as mine, but full, and two duffel bags.
Okay.
So you know how sometimes that's so much shit? Sometimes you got to, like, push your suitcase a different way. Like, it's a lot.
It's a process.
Well, the thing that these airports are doing now is, like, the Uber has to pick you up in some lot 5 miles away from the airport.
No one want to do that.
It's so annoying.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. So anyhow, we're leaving the airport. We're walking to wherever the Uber pickup is, and one of her bags started to fall. You know how, like, when the door opens, there's, like, a plate on the ground that you got to get your suitcase over?
Yeah.
So her suitcase got caught on that plate, and she has to fix it. I turn around. I see her stuck, and I, like, go to help her. And there is a Caucasian woman who is standing behind her and is like, ugh, move.
Huh?
Now, you see her struggling.
Yeah.
She didn't stop to pick up her phone and text somebody or anything. You're just mad that someone else is in your way.
Yeah.
And I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I left my luggage. I walked over to her. Ashley, when I tell you her and I are face to face like this, I said, what is your problem?
That close?
Close. She was like, she just stopped.
Yes, bitch, her bag fell.
I said, but she needed to regather her belongings. She's like, she was in the way. I said, I don't care who's in your way. You talk to people like human beings. You don't talk to people like dogs. If you want to get walked like a dog, I'll walk you like a dog right now, bitch.
And you said that?
To this white lady.
What did she do? She turned red. Oh, she bucked?
She wanted to stand 10 toes down, bitch.
Oh, she did?
She's just smiling.
In your face.
In my face. But you know how when you're that close to somebody, you can feel them. I could feel her energy. She was so nervous. She didn't know what else to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was just, like, kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I said, smile harder. I'll knock your teeth out your mouth, bitch. Sure enough, I look around. There's a
you said that to her.
Yeah, she's quiet. She just cannot get the grin off her face. We're so close to each other. I can feel her not quite wanting to do anything else because she's not sure. Like, she can't totally read me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this bitch really about to hit me or not? You know? And I see a guy with his daughter. She's like 3, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, just a bunch of things that when this goes down, they're never going to remember that this lady was rude to that it's going to be completely my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky.
Did you say that out
loud? I just, like, you know, I just, like, had to shake it off me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're so lucky. You are so lucky. And I turned around, because I left my stuff to get in her face.
Yeah.
I turned around, I grabbed my bags, and there's this younger black guy that sees me and both. And he was like, look, let me help you with your stuff. He grabs her suitcase. He grabs my suitcase.
Thank you.
He was like, where are you guys from, New York?
He's like, how can you tell? Because I'm mad aggressive. Yes.
I was like, sorry. I'm like, I just don't like that. I don't like when people don't talk to other peoples like humans.
Yeah.
You can be annoyed that she stopped.
Yeah.
But you don't move to someone that's obviously struggling.
Yeah. It's rude as fuck.
It's rude as hell.
Yeah.
So that was tricky and probably not what's supposed to happen when you land at the friendliest place on earth.
Wait, I have to know why you didn't like Disney World.
Okay.
First of all, let's talk about which parks did you go to?
Well, what I did do was go to the gentleman that works at the whole desk labeled Disney at the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, which park is best to go to as an adult with no children?
Yeah.
And he said Epcot.
Because they have alcohol there.
That's it.
Yeah.
He said there's no alcohol at Magic Kingdom. Yeah. He said Epcot has the best food and drinks.
I think the Animal Kingdom has alcohol.
Yes, but the Animal Kingdom apparently has the worst lines.
Oh, yeah, because it's so fun.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. And that they close at 6 or 7.
Early, because it's like the animals. It's like a zoo.
Yeah, exactly. So he said Animal Kingdom or Epcot, but suggested against Animal Kingdom because we'll spend most of our time in lines. Mm-hmm. So we went to Epcot. Mm-hmm. And it was cool.
Yeah.
Just, I don't like lines.
Yeah.
And there is no fast pass version for Disney World. There is the fast lane.
Yeah.
But you have to register on an app.
Oh, you have to do that at Disneyland too. It's their whole new process. You have to register. Like,
and
you have
so
to sign
now
up.
It's like, I got to go to this ride between this time and this time and this ride between this time and this time and this ride and this time. I literally said, if I had children, I would never want to be here.
No, when I tell you the exhaustion after a day at Disneyland or Disney World with kids, Disneyland is more stressful to me than Disney World.
Why?
Because at Disney World, there's too much to see in one day. So you have to spread it out. At Disneyland, like, at least because we're from LA, so it's like we get down there, we're trying to power through, we're trying to get through here and get our asses out. At Disney World, it feels a little bit more like, oh, we're on vacation. It's a little bit more relaxed there for me,
bro,
in my experience.
Anything that has a 119-minute wait.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's not relaxing to me,
well,
bro.
I'm never doing that.
Girl, 90 minutes, 119 minutes. Everything was aligned. And then here's the other part. Some of the rides, like the fast pass lanes, like sells out in the morning. So yeah, I don't enjoy lines. I don't enjoy lines to get a drink. I don't enjoy waiting in the line to get a fucking cheap ass taco. I don't enjoy waiting in the line for my funnel cake. I don't enjoy waiting in the line for a boat that's going to go 0.2 miles an hour and teach me about the greenhouse effect. I don't enjoy it. The shit is not fun.
Yeah. Epcot Center is the least fun too.
Well, that's what I thought. But the guy at the desk was like, no, because you have all the countries and you can do all this and you can do all that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they did have decent rides. So the Guardians of the Galaxy was like a full roller coaster in the dark. It was so fun.
Really?
That was the best ride
in the whole.
Yep, it is.
Okay.
The poor little girl in a Belle princess dress behind me got off that ride in tears. Yo, her mom was...
Honestly, one of the funniest things is when a kid gets on a ride and they have no idea what they're getting themselves into. I had that happen with Chase before where it's like a delayed reaction. The first time I ever took her on Space Mountain, and she was sitting next to me the entire time, and I kept looking at her and she was fine. She did not shed a tear. We get off the ride and the girl burst into tears. Like, and I was like, what is wrong? And she was like, I hated that. Like, it was like a full delayed meltdown.
She was a shock.
Yeah. What's interesting is Guardian of the Galaxy at Disneyland is the drop ride. Like the one that used to be the House of Terror or whatever it's called.
Tower of Terror.
Yes. Where it takes you. Now they call that Guardian of the Galaxy at Disneyland.
So yeah, we did a couple of the rides. I would say there was like two or three great rides. The rest was like a waste of my time.
Yeah.
I don't like that the Fast Pass has to be organized with an itinerary and an app. What happens if my phone dies?
You needed me there. You needed a mom there to organize it for you.
Yeah. I literally kept saying to the girls that, like, if I had to do this scheduling that I'm doing and watch two kids who are hungry and thirsty and I'm just trying to figure out where we can go.
No. It becomes a thing where your kids are getting yelled at the happiest place on earth. For
sure.
Because it's like, nah, you said you want to do this and I booked it and we're going there. I don't give a if you got to pee, eat, whatever. We will do it after our turn. Like, you start yelling at them, like, just leave me alone. I'm doing this for you. So be happy. Be happy. No, yeah, that's funny.
I was like, and then the map is not even valid because shit's under construction. So now you're using the GPS on the app to try to walk you to rides. I was like, oh, no.
It's a no. It's a whole hell no.
The only thing that I feel like was as good as it was when I was a little girl was the fireworks display.
Yeah, it's so good.
Really nice. Yeah. Like, just beautiful. The music sinks. It makes you feel like you're in a... Yeah, fireworks are still on. I didn't want to go to Magic Kingdom just to see the castle and all that.
Yeah.
But
I lived. I got my Minnie Mouse ears.
Yeah, you did all the things.
I did it.
When you go back, you have to go to Animal Kingdom, though, because that was our favorite park, hands down. It's so much fun, Ash. Like, you have to go back and do that because it's really fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
but I guess everybody knows that. That's why.
Yeah, everybody. That's what everybody wants to do. Yeah. But I will say, if you would like to go and stay on Disney property, mm-hmm. the Four Seasons is such a classy way
to do
Disney. Mm-hmm. So, like, it still had pictures of Mickey on the walls, but they were, like, really fly, old-school classic drawings of Mickey.
It was tasteful.
They still did breakfast with Goofy and his friends at the hotel downstairs, but, like, only for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then, like, the restaurant was right back to a regular Italian restaurant. They just did everything so tasteful to make the kids still feel like they were at Disney World, but the adults feel like,
okay. So it's a Disney property, but it's a Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were 4 or 5 minutes from the gates of Epcot, but like, they had a golf course there.
Yeah.
They have the only Michelin star restaurant in Orlando.
Oh, wow. So you had a really good experience overall. You got to go golfing, I saw.
I did get to go golfing. I didn't actually do 18. I just took lessons.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay. Which reminds me, I got to get my golf club shit back. They're still at the hotel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You did that purposely, though.
No, I just said I would email them the labels and just forgot. It's been
left. I mean, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. I like to ship my golf clubs.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm not on my preferred airline and then they want to charge you.
Crazy.
Yeah, to ship them. Yeah. So it's wild. But yeah, so.
It looked like you have fun. Listen, the pictures.
The pictures is all that matters.
Yeah.
As you saw, I only posted a picture from, you know, I don't understand how Epcot is reflective of countries around the world. And the only African country they had was Morocco. I was like,
Well, Disney's also gone under fire because some of their rides were also sort of like racist. So I'm wondering if that could be some of the stuff that they're fixing, because there was some rides. Splash Mountain they had to redo because there were some racist themes within that. There was a few racist undertones in
they
some of their rides.
They still got one, actually. Yeah. The first ride we got on, which was like a travel through history to the future, I could tell they had taken out the speech that was for one part where they're like working the slaves.
Oh, yeah.
The statues are still there moving, but the sound just stopped.
Because they were saying some dumb shit.
And then it picked back up at the printing press. I was like, I thought something was wrong with my shit.
No.
I was like, why'd they stop talking?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. They had some racist shit probably, and now they're trying to rework it and figure out what they could say.
Yeah.
I've read some stuff about them having some issues with that, so they're definitely going to have to figure that out.
I went on like one of those space rides where you get in a spaceship and shit goes wrong, and you're tumbling, you're floating, Mars 2112 type shit. And, like, people working the ride were, like, so in character.
Oh.
They were, like, astronauts.
Yeah.
And, like, this girl next to me, she won a prize, like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Ladies walking around, like, is that alien prepared for space? Like, I was like, oh, these people are weird.
No, it takes a special person to want to work at Disney in general, because it's giving special.
I'm dead. That's so anyways, that was Disney.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was jealous. I'm jealous of your tan. I'm jealous you got to go to Disney World.
Bitch, you were sitting with Dave Chappelle. Don't talk to me.
First of all, can I tell you something?
Don't talk to me.
You know, in the line of work, I have been around several celebrities. And most of the time, I keep my cool. But meeting Dave Chappelle, that's different. Like, he's a genius. The speech that he did for Kevin was amazing. He's the one who made me cry. Like, the things that he was saying, but also hilarious. And then afterwards, I got to meet him. Like, he was literally at the after party, like, sitting at the table next to us. And he was so nice. He kept turning around and talking to us. He's everything I ever anticipated in being and more. And I am beyond, like, I'm over the moon. I got to meet Dave Chappelle. Not did I just get to meet Dave Chappelle, but I got to, like, chit chat with Dave Chappelle. I grew up watching Dave Chappelle. Like, I used to be a religious viewer of the Dave Chappelle show. His sense of humor, like, his comedy is just my speed.
Yeah.
And he was just so cool.
Yeah.
He's just what you think he's gonna be, and he's that. And he was just chill.
I could believe it.
Yeah.
Damn.
He, like, had a cigarette in his hand. Like, I love you, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I meet Dave Chappelle?
You did?
I think that.
We met him before?
Not met him, but he was around. Where were we? It was a Kevin show. And he was in the back being himself. yeah, and being amazing.
Amazing.
I can't remember what city that was, but yeah, that's...
Was he there when Kevin was filming the special with Chris Rock?
This is before that. We were... Okay, boom. The picture that me, you, and Emily have.
Oh, at Madison Square Garden. That was the first time Kevin did Madison Square Garden.
Yes, and Dave Chappelle was there.
And Dave Chappelle was there, yes. And we got to meet him.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, my second time meeting Dave Chappelle was much better. This episode of Ask Ashley is sponsored by eBay Authenticity Guarantee.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you know you're getting the real deal. Whether you're looking for a head-turning handbag or a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear that make every step feel fly.
You know what, Ash? I've actually added eBay into my online shopping rotation.
Really?
Yeah, especially for sneakers. Imagine trying to find a pair of size 16 Travis Scott Jordans for an NFL player who doesn't want to hear the word no. The days of having to run around the city trying to track something exclusive as that are over for me.
Those days have been over for a long time. Hasn't online shopping been a thing for like decades now?
That's true, but you can't just trust purchases from any online store. I've gotten burned a few times, and when the items arrived to me, I couldn't even bring them to the client. And that's why these days, to know for sure you're getting the real deal, I go straight to eBay. When you're searching, just look for that blue check mark. It will say Authenticity Guarantee. And that means when you buy it, you can be confident that it's authenticated by real experts.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
I just feel like people who do TikTok have the illest phone prop skills I've ever seen in my life. They could prop that phone up anywhere.
They can. Yo. Well, you know what? My babysitter has it. You get this case. It has suction on the back, and you can literally stick the phone anywhere. It's a case.
This is what I'm saying.
No, like you can literally stick it to anything. As long as there's enough space, I could set it right here and record myself the whole time. I could have it on the wall. I could have it on the back. It sticks to anything.
Yeah, see.
I'm just saying, man. Step your phone case game up. TikTok generation.
I see you got a new phone case. It's cute.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. It's giving futuristic Bottega.
Exactly. That's like my total vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. I have something to tell you. Have you ever heard of iPhone finger?
No.
Let me see your pinky. Which hand do you hold your phone with mostly?
Like this.
Okay. Now go like this on your finger. Do you have a divot?
I do, but I have the same divot over here too.
But is one deeper than the other?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So look at my finger. See? I have it really bad. Look at that. You can visibly see the dent in my finger. And it is called iPhone finger.
Interesting.
Both my parents have arthritis. So I'm thinking I had arthritis in my finger. No, I have iPhone finger. This is iPhone finger.
So you must have all the weight leans in your pinky?
Yeah, like I'm holding my phone wrong. I need like an orthopedic case for my iPhone, I think. Feel mine. It's really, really bad.
No, I can.
You can visibly see the
indent.
Yeah.
What the f***? It almost looks like you burned your finger. See how like you have the
right
line?
Yeah, right here. Because then it also is creating like a callus. iPhone finger.
What the f***?
iPhone finger. Get to know about it, guys. And you know I think what we should do, we need to make a case that prevents iPhone finger.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to catch on. People are going to start understanding this. This is a real problem. I'm going to have to go to physical therapy.
I really thought that you were going to tell me that iPhone finger had something to do with my thumbs.
No. There's something with your neck.
For sure.
I just learned about iPhone finger.
Yeah, that's wild. I never want iPhone finger.
I know. I have it, and it's bad. Do you have the regular size?
Yes.
That could be it, too, because I always have the big phone. Damn.
Why do you need the big phone? It's just like a preference?
Yeah, I just like a big
phone. It's not like more space or anything, right?
No. It's the same.
It's just
the screen is bigger. That's it.
Damn. No, I definitely have whatever the neck thing is.
Yeah. You
for sure.
Yeah, we all have that.
And sometimes my thumbs lock.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought, I was like, no. I definitely have iPhone finger. But yeah, no, I don't have that one.
I have a very serious case.
Yikes.
Of iPhone
Sheesh.
So just a little tidbit of info for you guys.
If you break it down fundamentally, 56% of marriages end in divorce. Like, think about, that's the ones that end in divorce. So how many people, what percentage stay together for the kids? or because they don't want to give away half their shit. Another 10%, that's conservative.
Conservative.
But let's say 20% then, okay?
That's at least right.
You now have a technology that fails 76% of the time. That's insane. That's insane. That's more likely than not. 76%. If I told you there's a 76% chance when you walk out the door today you're going to get hit in the head with a bowling ball, you would not go out, or you'd wear a helmet for sure. But people just continue to get married. Not only do they continue to get married, there's a presumption that you should get married. And if you don't get married, there's something wrong with you. So if you've got a girlfriend and you've been with her for 5 years and you say to someone, we're getting married, they go, oh, that's great. You know, they don't go, why? You're happy. Why would you get married? Like, everything's going fine. Why would you put yourself through that? Why would you run that risk? If you say to someone, we've been together 5 years and we've decided we're not going to get married. We're going to move in together, but we're not going to get married. Ooh, what's wrong? You have intimacy issues? What's your problem? Mm. Meanwhile, 56% end in divorce. It's literally fits the legal definition of negligence.
So I saw that, and I'm a person that struggles with this concept a lot because I'm a stats and a number girl.
Yeah.
The numbers tell me this is likely not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people nowadays are leaning on stats like this.
Mm-hmm.
To help their case.
To justify
not taking the oath in front of God.
Yeah.
I don't care what percentage this is. Guess what? I had a 76% chance that I would not be here sitting across from you doing this podcast.
Yeah.
After 4 years.
Right.
We probably had a 90% chance watching all these girl podcasts fall apart. Okay?
Fall apart for sure. Okay? Yeah.
Like, we had a huge chance.
Yeah.
But guess what? I got down on my hands and my knees. And I pray to God, and we have here the opportunities that we have.
And we put in work and time and effort and all of that.
All of those things.
Yeah.
But I also know not all men are built for marriage.
Correct.
And of that 56%, I'm going to go ahead and say that 30% of those men should have never been married from the beginning.
From the beginning.
From the tip top.
Yeah. So that is interesting because I think from someone who is in a very long relationship, probably longer than most people's marriages.
100%.
I constantly got the, well, why aren't you married? Like, why don't you get married? And so for a long time, I felt like I had to be married in order to make it real. Like, it's like that's what's supposed to happen. That's what, you know, you're with someone for a while. You love each other. You may have kids together. Well, duh, we should be married. We never got married, but had essentially a marriage and a relationship that outlasted a lot of our friends that got married and got divorced in that time period. Now, I definitely was someone who felt like I needed to be married, and that's what I needed to make a family, and that's how I grew up, and I grew up in the church.
Having the family, having the home, having the kids, having the partner, having the shared resources, you were existing basically married.
Yeah, but it wasn't real.
Yeah.
But what is interesting is I have a friend going through a divorce. Essentially, aside from the children, can walk away from the relationship. And that's that. The marriage side of it becomes much more messy because now there are assets. There is all different types of things that become that legally binding. Spiritually, I understand marriage and I understand that because that is what God intended for us. And that I get all of that. However, I think in this day and age, I don't think that marriage is necessarily important anymore. So I am rolling with that, and I'm sort of the belief where if your relationship works for you, I don't think that we need to put so much pressure on making it a marriage because I think that sometimes that actually becomes the issue.
I think that those stories are how many times we've seen it. People that have been engaged 8, 9, 10 years get married for 2 and it's over.
And it's over.
Fast.
Yeah.
So I definitely get that. I feel like not everybody is built for marriage. And you were lucky enough that Deshaun was able to honestly be himself. You wanted to force him to do it. And he ultimately stood on, I'm not the guy for this. And you got to respect that.
For sure.
I know it was really hard at the time, but I know looking back, you definitely respect.
Oh, yeah. Because guess what? The last thing that you want and the reason why the numbers look like that is because there are a bunch of women forcing men to get married when they don't want to be married.
100%. And it's, and in turn, instead of looking for, if marriage is important to you and marriage means something to you like it does to me, instead of looking for the man that also wants to be married or sees marriage as at the same level as you, you end up with a guy who is not on the same page.
Yeah, and you're trying to force him into the little box.
Right? I saw this clip. What the point was is that people have been pushed so far from marriage and committed relationships being a thing because we're force-fed information like 70% of marriages don't work and da 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 that now we're going the exact opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And instead of working and fighting and choosing the right partner, we're accepting the wrong partner, accepting beliefs that are not in alignment with ours and saying that this feels better.
Yeah.
When it doesn't.
Doesn't.
We're trying to make ourselves feel better from people saying that marriage doesn't work and it's an outdated system and we're moving, you know, monogamy is not real in this day and age, that we've gone to the entire end of the spectrum, in which case we're not existing like ourselves either.
Yeah.
And it's so tricky, I feel like, as you're being fed all of these things that it's like, you have to just go with what your heart feels.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You can give me 70, 80% of marriage failures. Mm-hmm. My heart feels differently.
Yeah.
And I might end up one of that failed percentages, but at least I will not have abandoned how I feel to accept what society says or dictates now as acceptable.
And I think that we also need to understand that as you grow and change, that your perspective can change.
100%.
Because I know that mine did.
Yes.
So it's like, I think that you just have to be open. You know, you're someone who's pretty rigid on the fact of the way that you want things to happen in a particular order, and this is what it looks like, and that's great for you. And then someone like me, I also wanted that, and now I have a more open view. What I've just learned through experience is that marriage doesn't necessarily define a family.
100%.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's in a relationship but also doesn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, she said, does the question, when are you going to have kids, bother you?
Yeah.
And I was like, not really, but it does make me wonder why someone doesn't ask first when I'm getting married.
Yeah, because it's just, it's not what it is. You are of the, your mindset is the minority mindset at this point. The majority mindset is more the way that I have lived my life. Like I had kids, I had a long-term partner. What, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it's weird though that someone could see me in a fresh relationship and their first question be, when are you getting pregnant?
I know, like me.
Literally not, do you want to get married? Is he the one?
Yeah.
It's, when are you getting pregnant?
Yeah.
When are you going to have a baby?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, when did we get here? Like, when did that become the thing that you're supposed to do first?
Things have totally changed.
Yeah.
The perspective has changed. I would be interested to know, when did this change?
I don't have a clue. The only thing that I could suggest or I could believe is that at some point when divorce either got easier to do or cheaper to manage.
Yeah, but
I could,
from my understanding is the shit is not easy or cheap.
No, it's not.
And it takes a long ass time.
It takes a long time. I'm not saying that marriage is the end all be all.
No.
But I don't like the heavy rhetoric that's pushed that says that marriage just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
Because there are marriages that work. There's plenty of them.
Saying that 76% of the time marriage doesn't work is a wild number.
It's a wild number. And if I was a betting girl, I wouldn't be able to bet on the side of marriage.
Yeah. But the fact that the difference is that it is emotional. And it is so personal, and it's hard to put numbers on something like that. I mean, obviously you can, because those are the true statistics, but it's hard to digest that.
I just feel like I've spent a lot of life breaking statistics or not being a statistic.
Yeah.
And so
you're going to keep going.
Who am I to say that just because the numbers say this is the one area of my life.
Yeah.
This is also the one area of my life, one of the few areas of my life that I would stand in front of God and make an oath. Mm-hmm. So like put the stats on that. Like, put the stats on how many times I gave it to God, it worked out. Because that would
and
be 100.
And that's the thing. You have to believe in God and put God in your marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyways. What time is it?
It's question time.
What time is it?
It's question time.
Okay, friend edition of question time.
Oh, cutesy.
Usually we learn about each other, but let's learn about our other friends.
This is fun.
Did you see the thing I sent you, the friend-in-law?
No.
So basically, if your friend has a friend that you always hear about and sometimes hang out with, that's your friend-in-law.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cute. Because so, that's not your friend, that's my friend. But that's your friend-in-law.
That's my friend-in-law.
Yeah. I love that.
I was like, that's cute.
Yeah.
Friend-in-law. Let's learn about our friend-in-laws.
Okay. Where is the sketchiest place a friend of yours has ever taken you?
I just went to the sketchiest place, bro. Why are we here? Now, with all due respect, it was not her fault. It was her man's fault. But also, sis, you didn't ask the right questions.
Uh-oh.
You know how, like, some boyfriends, you got to ask a couple extra questions. She got one of those.
Yeah.
Like, get the details from him before we end up like we ended up.
Where did you go?
So it was her boyfriend's best friend's birthday.
Okay.
He says that he's doing a private party. He also says it's going to be a strip club party. So sounds like we're going to a strip club in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They probably rented it out. They got money. So I'm sure.
It's great.
Yeah. So we get in the car and I'm like, what's the address to tell the driver? Pulls up in Google Maps and it is like, ain't no f***ing way.
Ain't no way. Ain't no fucking way.
One of the girls in the car is like, no, no, no. They probably, that's like the picture before they tore down and built up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Bro, we get to the address and we're looking all around for a new build.
It's nowhere to be found.
Girl, we were in the trap house, basically.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
In the trap house.
With no gun.
With no gun, with no nothing. Just
nothing, just out here naked.
Just naked.
Luckily, he had like security guards and stuff outside, but still, this is just creep. So
was this like a theme?
No. I mean, it felt like as the night kept going. Surprise! You came to the trenches!
Yeah. So the theme of my birthday is trap house chic.
It's giving trench baby. I turned to her like, bitch, where am I? I turned to her man, and he want to throw his hands up, too. Like he didn't know
this
is where we're
friend.
Going. This is your friend. This shit is a brown building, bitch. Not a door, not a sign. It looks like a warehouse, bro. I'm like,
what's happening?
Where are we going?
We're
going
to die tonight.
I thought you said we were in a strip club. Magic City, like 4 minutes up the road.
Yeah.
Why are we here? The lady comes to the door. She opens the Sprinter door and she was like, okay, you don't got to get patted down. You don't got to get patted down. Everybody else got to get patted down. I was like, no, this whole Sprinter don't got to get patted down. I don't even go places in New York where I got to get patted down.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Why are you patting me the f*** down?
Yeah.
So sure enough, we walk into this spot. You have to go up 6 flights of stairs. We get to the top. It is no bigger than this room. And all I'm doing is looking for an exit. There is not a f-ing exit on this floor.
I just got the chills.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm in this abandoned building that they turned 6 floors up into a strip club party in Atlanta with nobody from Atlanta. Just
people from out of town.
One night only, I'm from out of town.
On the 6th floor, no exits. We're at the table, like closest to the stairs, which means that anybody could just like fire up the stairs and we're all hit.
We done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's a wrap.
We had no security. We had no way out. We had no protect. Like, we
and
were
was just a bunch of with money sitting in a room.
Sitting in a room. A bunch of with money that everybody knew was going to be there.
Yeah.
Them two securities could have just called 2 at home. Like, they up here naked. Pull up. We'll act surprised too. You know what I'm saying?
No, for like, real, because that's how the shit be going
this
down.
This is what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying. Those two security guards were hired to cover your mans.
That's it.
The rest of us, we can't even, somebody goes wrong, we can't even sue this establishment. Like, we can't even.
I'm terrified.
Bro.
I would have had a full anxiety attack.
Let me tell you this. Told one of the guys to go grab ones from Magic City because it's not a real strip club, right? We're at this makeshift strip club, right?
So they went to the real strip club to grab ones to come back to the makeshift strip
club. You hear me? You hear me?
Huh?
Imagine this guy is walking in with 10,000 in ones in one hand and 10,000 in ones in the other. You're a f-ing Target.
This just keeps getting worse. These had to be drunk.
Bro, it was the stupidest shit I did. I can't even. I'm so upset. I was so upset. I was so upset. We came home with all the money.
I love that for you.
Yeah, me too. That's the best, right?
That's the best part.
Leaving the strip club.
That's the best part of the story.
A bag full of money.
The best part of the story is you came home with all the money.
Yeah.
Like you was the stripper.
I was.
Good for you.
I put in work after like I was too.
I bet you did.
Yeah, it was
fun. That's one thing you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
One thing for sure, two things for certain.
Yeah.
Ash is going to put in that work.
My bitch bad looking like a bag of money.
Hey.
My chick bad looking like a bag of money. My chick bad looking like a bag of money. I go and get it and I let
so
it
funny.
Ashley, yes. Which one of your friends is the most conceited?
Ooh. Conceited?
Oh, we have to tell names. So, Anna, sorry, you got me in some bullshit. We got to say, there otherwise it's the friend, yeah. I forgot, it doesn't work if we don't do that. Conceited.
I know.
And conceited doesn't have to be a bad
thing. I know, yeah. I'm just trying to, I just don't really feel like I hang out with people like that. In my head, conceited is like, I think like I'm so pretty and I like talk about how pretty I am and how I have all this money or I have everything. Like,
yeah, yeah, I'm going to get the real definition
okay.
So that we know actually.
So then we can be specific.
Define conceited. Vain.
Oh. And what is
excessively
vain mean?
Proud of oneself.
Kevin.
Hilarious.
Kevin's my most conceited friend.
Absolutely.
There you go. Done. Simple.
100%.
Kevin Hart is who I'm talking about.
There Kevin is absolutely your most conceited friend.
1,000%. Now that you broke it down in that definition.
Yep.
There you go. Done. Do you know that yesterday? Let me tell you a story.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, I dropped off something to his house. I had bought some earrings at Nordstrom, like the little the fake diamond studs.
Okay.
I had accidentally left them in the bag that I gave him with his stuff. He calls me, Ashley, what is this in this bag? I said, what do you mean? He was like, I know you didn't bring these earrings for me. I said, oh, shoot, I'm sorry, those are mine. I left them in the bag. Like, I'll get them back from you. He was like, wait, what's going on? I said, what do you mean? He said, you wear fake diamonds? I said, yes, Kevin, I do, because the type of diamond earrings that I want to wear, I cannot afford, sir. Unless you want to give me some type of crazy raise, I cannot afford those diamonds. He was like, oh, my God, that's the most basic shit I've ever heard. He was like, no, I'm not giving these back to you. You cannot do that. He was like, I don't know, like maybe a birthday present or something, but I am disgusted.
Bro, can I tell you something?
What?
That's how I got these that are in my ear right now, because the dude told me the same shit.
But that's like mean.
I felt the same way. I was like, I have no problem with my cheapo depot earrings.
Because then if I lose them, I'm not sick about it.
Bro, he came the next day with these new earrings. Like, ain't no way you were not wearing those.
Well,
why do men have such a problem with it?
Guess what? I got them in my ear. I sure did get them back from him.
Yeah.
And here they are. Anyways, the point is, but like, that's the type of stuff you got to deal with him.
Yeah.
That's my most conceited friend. There you go.
And he said something too about your necklace not laying right one day.
Yeah. And then I had to go get it reset because every time I tried to wear it, he was talking about my necklace.
Yeah.
He's like, it's cheap. I was like,
damn.
Sir, not everybody is you.
Right.
Like, I'm just doing the best that I can with what I got.
That's hilarious.
Hilarious. As soon as you said the definition, there you go. I know who it is. Easy.
That's good.
Light work. Okay, Ash, this is kind of funny, but knowing you're like, you have a vast array of friends, which one of your friends is most likely to accidentally join a cult?
Bro, Sienna. Hands down. Sienna is on a 4-day meditation retreat right now. She might come back in a cult.
Yeah.
She
doing the ayahuasca
it.
Or anything?
No, she's like on 8 hours of meditating.
Like no phone type of thing.
Like her doula is leading it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like that. I know in a previous episode I talked to you about how one time when we were in college, she had me like, damn, what was the name of that group? Landmark. Mm-hmm. She had me go to a Landmark forum with her.
It was essentially a scheme.
Yeah. She's always looking for ways to like enhance or grow or better herself, which means that she's constantly exposed to new versions of things.
Yeah. Like she would have been with Mother Wolf.
Mother God.
Mother God.
Like she would, someone would have really broke down to her in a book how Mother God was real.
Yeah.
She would with it. If there was enough research behind it.
Because she's a smart girl. But if it makes sense.
She would do it. I think someone could get that bitch in a cult for
accidentally. We'd look up and we'd be like, where's Sienna?
She's been in Montana for 4 weeks. And she'd be like, it's lovely here. You should see the air is so fresh. The people.
We're eating all organic off the farm. Yes. It's amazing. That's amazing.
I really admire her open mind.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, that's crazy.
You're doing too much, that's sis.
Crazy. I know. I understand there's facts, but it's still crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, Sienna for sure could end up accidentally in a cult.
That's amazing.
That's funny. I also would have said my college roommate.
Mm-hmm.
That bitch would try any drug under the sun.
Ooh.
Like, those are the ones you gotta watch. She was like, I did LSD last night. I was like, what? Bitch, I thought LSD died with the Beatles. I didn't even know that shit was a real drug still.
You know, my nail lady does acid still to this day.
She would do acid.
Yeah, that's wild.
Shrooms, LSD, like whatever, she would do it. And I feel like she could probably end up in a cult too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. She could end up sex trafficked also. She needs to be careful.
Bro. And that's the other thing about Disney World.
Oh, all the sex trafficking things.
Yeah, my homegirl's like, I'm going to the bathroom. Make sure I come out in 5 minutes. I'm like, what's going to happen? She's like, I see all these videos where they push the bathroom stall and spins around.
They say Orlando's real bad for sex trafficking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Your kids don't have Instagram pages, right? Well, Charlie I know Charlie's does. Of legal age. I mean, she's of Instagram legal age, but does Chase?
No.
I've been watching that stuff about how the pedophiles are on and saving your kids' pictures and videos and jacking off to them in the middle of the night and all kinds of weird shit. Yeah, it's weird. Side note. Remember when we thought that Des Dior locked Future in, however many years ago that was?
Didn't.
Def didn't. Do you?
What would Pluto do?
How about did you see her dad got arrested for sexually molesting his coworker's daughter? He raped that little girl.
How old was she?
14. Her mom like went away for a funeral or something, left the kids at the house, and all the kids used to sleep in the same room. This particular night, he put the boys in the living room. Like, he plotted on this. And he put his dick in her mouth. He raped her anally. She was telling him that it hurt.
Ashley! Like,
all the things. And I just, like, imagine that was that girl's father. We be complaining about our dads.
Yeah, that's a whole different level.
Bro, disgusting. Anyways, I'm glad pedophiles get beat up in jail.
Me too.
Deadass.
They need it.
Anyways, my turn, right?
Mm-hmm. Last one.
Which one of your friends is young at heart and which one of your friends is an old soul?
Oh, this is easy.
Okay.
Young at heart has to go to Ashley W.
Wow, I thought this was the question you were going to ask me last, and I was going to say you.
Oh, we're so young. Look at us. Yeah, I think you're probably the most young at heart.
Okay.
And then old soul would probably be Anna or Khadijah. Khadijah is like an old soul. I always call her Beverly because her mom's name is Beverly. And I'll be like, okay, Beverly.
She gives me old soul.
Yeah.
She definitely gives
me old soul. So I'll go with Khadijah. She's definitely like old soul.
Yeah.
As she's getting older, I see so like her mannerisms, like she is her mother's child. So I'll be like, okay, Beverly.
Her daughter is also a little bit of an old soul.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah. I actually think I've seen it more in Celine, which made me just assume that Khadijah was like that.
Yeah.
Anna gives me mature soul.
Yeah.
Khadijah gives me like she was like her mom.
Yeah. That's interesting. Anna is very mature. She has a very mature outlook on life.
I always wonder if life situations do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if like...
I think Anna, her mom died when she was younger. So I think that is...
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a life thing.
Yeah, life thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Ash.
Well.
We gotta go.
Yeah, we do.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ask Ashley Podcast. And if you want to connect with us, you can find our website at www.askashleypodcast.com.
If you're looking to connect with us personally, you can find me, Ashley W, at Dear Young Queen. And you can find Ashley N at Ashley North Style.